I was riding to church this morning, and I heard this illustration on the radio. I thought, well, I'll try to use it a little bit, and I'm not too good at remembering things sometimes, but we'll see how this goes. You know, this attitude that we live in with the world right now is everybody thinks they're better, right? Everybody thinks they're the best. I heard there was two soccer players that have been debating over who was the best in the world. Okay, they were both saying that they were better than the other one or whatever. One of them made the comment that God put him on this world to teach everybody how to play soccer because he was the best. So they went to the second player and asked him, said, what do you think about that comment that he made? He said, well, I didn't send him for that. Now, that's the way people think, right? They're better than the other. And I think that's kind of not good in a lot of ways that he compared himself to God, right? Made himself think that he was God. And that's the way the people in this world are. And that's the way a lot of people are sometimes. We all act and we all live our life a lot of times like we're better than God. I have a message today from Luke chapter 9, if you'll take your Bibles and turn there. And part of this message, verse 51 of it, and we'll, this isn't the way I plan to start, but this is what we'll do right now. But verse 51 of Luke 9, and that's where we'll start it today, it says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. That he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem is talking about Jesus. And boy, when I was reading this and studying this and going through this and thinking about it, I was thinking about that song that we have. I didn't turn this on, did I, guys? Let me do that. There we go. We got that one off and this one on. But anyway, I was thinking about that song, 10,000 angels. He could have called 10,000 angels. Jesus steadfastly, the Bible says, set his face to go to Jerusalem. You know what that's saying? Jesus knew what he was going to suffer in Jerusalem. Jesus knew what he was going to go through. But he had to steadfastly put himself in a position saying, I'm going there no matter what. Do you think Satan didn't try to tempt the Lord to not go there? Wow. Does Satan not tempt us sometimes to do things different than we should do with our lives? Let me go to the other side of that question. Do we not sometimes do what Satan tempts us to do instead of what God wants us to do? But the Bible says here in verse 51 that Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I have a little statement out of these verses that I'm going to read today that I want to speak to you about today. Let's read the scriptures. Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 51 through verse 62, the word of God says this. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered to the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That's reading Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through 62. Let's have another word of prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful to be in thy house today. Lord, we're thankful to be here because we can worship you. Lord, we're thankful to be here because we know that you're with us. You're here today. Lord, help us to worship you. Lord, help us to praise you because you did exactly what needed to be done for us. Lord, you didn't turn aside. You didn't call 10,000 angels to destroy the world. But Lord, you died on the cross of Calvary for the lives of this people of this world, including me, including everybody that's here today, including everybody that's under the sound of this today. Lord, and I believe that you died for the whole world. And Lord, I believe if the whole world, if everybody in the world came to you and asked for forgiveness of sins and trusted in Jesus, that they would be saved. God, I thank you for that salvation today that we have. Lord, I pray you'd help us now to look into these scriptures, look into this word of God, and to think about it, to apply it with our hearts and our lives to ourselves. Lord, help us to make ourselves to be what you would have us to be. Lord, I thank you for the pastor of this church. I pray you strengthen him, lead God, direct in him the things that need to be done with this church. Help him to be rested this week and to have a time of vacation with his family. Supply the need there as you see fit. Lord, do be with us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. This scripture that I read, I listened to a preacher a few weeks ago. And there's three places in the scripture that I found these words that jumped off the page at me. And he was actually using the scripture out of Matthew chapter 8, which is another place that these words are said. But I want you to think about verses 57 through 62. Hearing the word of God today, they have a time of discipleship it's talking about. It's three people that tell the Lord. One of them says, Lord, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. The other one says, Lord, let me serve you, but I need to do this first. Another one says, Lord, I want to serve you, but I need to do this first. And here's the words that jumped off the page at me. I want you to look at verse 59. It says, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, this is the man replying to the Lord, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Look at verse 61. And another also said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. I want to ask you this question today, and I want you to think about this with your life. What do you think of people that are me first? Me first? I told that story a little bit ago about the two soccer players that both of them thought they were the best in the world, right? Both of them had that attitude that, boy, nobody's better than me in this. I'm first. Now, let me ask you something. Is it hard to get that me first attitude? If you put a cookie down in front of some 3-year-olds and one of them is the last cookie and one of them said he's going to share it with the others, would that happen? Uh-uh. A bunch of 3-year-olds and one cookie left, they're going automatically going to start saying, me first, right? I want it. I want it. Does that come naturally to you and I? Yeah, it does. It does. Here's three different people in these scriptures. And I want to talk about today the attitude of me first. Me first. One of them said, suffer me first. One of them said, let me first. And I want you to think about this today. What kind of attitude do I have in my life with the Lord and serving him that I say, let me first do whatever. Let me first be this way. Let me first do this. You know, we all think that we're not this way, don't we? Wow. But when we start bringing this down personal to our life, everybody in here has been in church most of their lives. And I guarantee you, every one of us probably think we really do a lot and serve God. But I'm going to tell you something. When I started thinking about this in my life, there's a lot of me first that I've done with my life instead of doing what God wanted me to do. There's a lot of me first. This world today, the attitude of me first, you know, all these riots and all these things that are going on is everybody saying, hey, I need to be in front, right? I need to have more than everybody else. This me first attitude, that's what it thinks a lot, that I'm better than others, that I know more than others, that I deserve more than others, and that I should be ahead of others, right? That's what a me first attitude is. Me first. I want to be me first. Let me ask you something. What do you think God thinks of a me first attitude? Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Here's what popped in my mind when I thought of this. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19 says this, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth mischief imaginations, feet that be swift to run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. What does the Bible say? That God says, these things I hate. Seven are abomination to him. First one he listed there was a proud look. Now let me ask you something. Is that a me first attitude? Huh? A proud look is, oh, I'm better than they are. I'm going to put me first because I'm better than they are. What about a lying tongue? What does a lying tongue do? Well, a lying tongue is being using her tongue for selfish reasons, right? I want to turn that story around and let it be made the way I want it to be told. And let it be what I want it to be told. So we have that lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that go out and kill is saying, hey, I'm going to get rid of this person. I'm going to do this to them because I have a selfish reason to do that. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Now, none of us have that, do we? None of us have a heart that devises wicked imaginations. Boy, we all need to be at the altar when we start thinking about that, if you think about it. Because what does the Bible say about our heart? It's desperately wicked, right? Our heart. Then he says, feet that are swift and run into mischief. Now, let me ask you something. How many times does our feet want to run to mischief going on? Boy, when I was a kid, it didn't take much for my feet to run to mischief. But my dad tried his best to keep me out of mischief because he tamed my hind end. We talked about that. We talked about that before. Pastor Brandon talks about that. But that happens to children. It did in my day. And I bet you say it doesn't happen enough today. But anyway. Then it says, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. So anybody that has that me first attitude, the Lord God does not like that, does not promote that, does not want that. And you and I in our life need to look inside of ourselves and see what our attitude is about this. How much do we promote ourselves first ahead of what God wants for us? Wow. So I got to thinking about this a little bit. What does Jesus say? What does Jesus think? Here's some scriptures that I thought about. Look at Matthew chapter 5. And I have several scriptures that I want to read here. But I believe the Word of God can say it a whole lot better than I can. And I believe the Word of God does say it a whole lot better than I do. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 38. In part of the Sermon on the Mount, here's the Lord Jesus speaking. He says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thy way. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, and bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only what ye do more than others, do not even the publicans also? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So verses 38 through 48 of Matthew 5, Jesus is telling us to treat others ahead of ourselves, ahead of me first attitude. Too many times we want to go back to verse 38 that says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. A lot of times we want to live our life that way. We want to say, well, look, they didn't do that to me. Here's what they did to me, and I'm going to get back at them. The Lord Jesus tells us here, hey, if somebody did us bad or somebody treated us bad, we're still to love them. We're still to care for them. We're still to do things for them. If somebody asks us to go a mile with them, the Bible says to go two, doesn't it? Do more than is asked. Do more than is expected. Let me ask you something. Did Jesus do all that was expected of him of the Father? He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But the psalm says he died alone for you and me. Wow. The example that Jesus gave. Look at chapter 6 of Matthew. Verses 1 through 7 says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, When thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as do the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So what is he saying here in chapter 6, verses 1 through 7? He's saying the work of God should be selfless. Selfless. Not me first. Not me showing what I'm doing for God, but doing it in secret. Well, I learned a lot of things when I was in college. One thing that I remember never, that I'll hopefully never forget. One of my roommates my freshman year was a missionary's child. His parents were missionaries on the islands. He didn't have much, but he came to me one day and he said, I know somebody's got a need. I'm going to put some money in an envelope and send it to their mailbox and reward them, give it to them, but I'm not going to put my name on it. Would you want to participate in that? Well, I learned about that because you do things secretly. You do things secretly. You don't let everybody know what you're doing sometimes. Here's a missionary's kid, I thought. I'm sure he didn't have much money. I'm sure he didn't have much. He's dependent upon his parents to help him, and his parents are dependent upon churches to help them. And here he is giving some of what he had to help somebody else that was in need. Boy, you and I, we can learn some lessons from Jesus saying, do it secretly. Don't do it to be seen of men. Don't do it to be known about by everybody else. But serve God selflessly. Look at chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Here's another thought that I had with this, is we need to serve God selflessly. Selflessly. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is he saying? I can't do it in my own way of being selfish and putting me first and doing it my way. I must do it in the way that would honor and glorify the Lord God Almighty, that would lift him up. What does Jesus think of these with the me first attitude? Of these with the attitude that, hey, we need to be the way we are because this is what God's calling me to do. That soccer player that probably thought that he was the best in the world and God put him here to teach others how to play soccer, he probably really felt that. He probably really believed that to himself. But is that the way God wants us to live? Does God want us to show forth that, hey, I'm better than everybody else in the world? Too many times, we as Christians look down upon people that aren't saved, that aren't Christians. And we shouldn't, should we? Do you remember when you were without Christ? Do you remember the life that we lived when we were without Christ? Well, I can recall some of those things. And I'm glad that I got saved as a young lad of about 16 years old. And God called me out of that. And God gave me some things that made me better. But I do not want to go out into the world and try to live that way and say I'm better than the people in the world. That's not the way to be. When Jesus came to this earth, he could have put a castle on a hill and lived in it, couldn't he? He says, here's your king. But what did Jesus do? Born in a manger
in a stable with animals around. And he lived the normal life that he lived. He showed forth that we can serve God with whatever the circumstance is in our life and be the way that we ought to be and show forth to this world who we are. Back in Luke chapter 9, there's three different ones here that look at the Lord and say, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want to do something for you. But yet, you don't really ever see them do this. You don't ever see it come to pass. And I believe it's because of this me first attitude a lot of times. Me first attitude that we have. And I say we because we all have it. It's natural to be me first, isn't it? It's natural to want to take care of ourselves first. I want you to try something sometime, even at a meal at home with your family. Try to wait and be last in line. Just try to wait and be last in line to get some food, to get something. It's not as easy to do as we think sometimes. But most of the time we all think, I should have that before somebody else, or I deserve that. I should have that. But here we have these that are looking at the Lord and they're saying, I'm going to serve you. The first man in verses 57 and 58 says, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now let me ask you something. Verse 51, we read about it, said Jesus had steadfastly set his face, set his vision, set himself knowing he was going to Jerusalem. Do you remember that scripture that I read from Matthew when I sung that song? Do you remember the last verse that I read, what it said? All his disciples were there with him. Was that what it said? Nope. What did it say? All his disciples forsook him. Did this man follow him whithersoever he went? He did not. Now, I know the scriptures doesn't really tell us what he did or didn't do. But we do know he wasn't there at the end because it said all his disciples forsook him. Forsook him. And I'm not going to stand here today and tell you that I'd have been there because I'm sure I'd have forsook him too. I'm sure I'd have forsook him. I'd have forsook the Lord Jesus when he went to the cross of Calvary because I'd have been saying, boy, they're going to come get me next. If they're going to put him on the cross and what he's done in his life, they're surely going to come get me. I'd have been afraid. I'd have been scared. But here he is saying, I'm going to follow you whithersoever thou goest. In verse 58, it says, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Here's what I think. Be it right, wrong, or indifferent, I don't know. But I believe this man forsook Jesus because of his past. Why'd I say that? Here's Jesus when he looks back at this man. He says, I have nowhere to lay my head and call home. This man started thinking about his home, started thinking about his house, started thinking about what he had, and he forsook Jesus because of his past, because of remembering, I have a home to go relax in. I have a home where I can go lay down my head. I have a place where I can be, and I can't live that way like Jesus is living. He has nowhere to lay his head, nowhere to relax. So this man, I believe, forsook Jesus because of his past. The second one, the Bible says, and he said unto another, follow me. But he says, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to think about something for a minute. Do you think Jesus wouldn't want us to go to our father's funeral if it was happening? I believe he would. I believe he would. Remember when I even read that scripture a while ago or sang the song a while ago where the Lord, it says, looked at his mother when he was hanging on the cross and says, woman, behold thy son. He even asked John there to take care of his mother, didn't he? Jesus dying on the cross knew that his parents needed to be taken care of, knew that his mother needed to be taken care of, and he took care of her. So Jesus wouldn't be saying this and saying, oh, don't go to your father's funeral. But here's what the thought and the idea is that the guy's saying. Lord, I want to serve you after my life. After I've taken care of my family. After I've taken care of my father. After these things are done, I want to serve you then. It wasn't that his father was dead and the funeral needed to happen. It was him saying, wait until my time. Let me first. Suffer me first to do what I want to do. Are we that way with our life? Boy, if I look in the mirror, I'm going to see exactly the person that I have the most problem with, right? What is it I tell you? My wife's husband, right? I hadn't said that lately. I said it today. The person that I have the most trouble with is my wife's husband. And that's true. That's true. But you see, here's somebody that says, let me go bury my father. So I believe this one is forsaking Jesus because of the future. He's saying, hey, I want to keep living and doing what I want to do. And then after I do all that, let me serve you. Verse 61 and 62 says another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home. Which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let me ask you something. Those of you that's plowed, can you plow looking back? Not if you want a straight furrow, right? Not if you want your row to be straight. Now, I have a hard time getting my row straight anyway, looking forward. I know I'd have a hard time looking back. But here's this person saying, let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home. I believe this person forsook Jesus because of the present. Because of the present. Now, let me ask you something. If you first go back home and say, bid farewell to your family, wouldn't that be a temptation to stay? Wouldn't your family be looking at you and say, where are you going? We need you here. We need you here. Don't leave us. And too many times we ourselves say, I can't serve Jesus because I got this to do and I got this that needs to be done and I got to take care of this and I got to be this way. Now I know every one of us sitting here today say, I don't have this me first attitude that you're talking about. But let me ask you something. Do you serve Jesus selfishly or when it's convenient for us? Do we serve God when it's convenient or selflessly? Selflessly means every time the church doors are open, I'm going to be here. It means every time that something's needed, I'm going to be there to help take care of it. Every time that I need to be in prayer, I'm in prayer for God. Every time that this is going on, that's going on with the church, I'm going to be there to help. I'm going to serve God no matter what. But too many times we put self ahead of God. Sometimes we just say, I don't feel like it. I'm staying home today and I'm not going to do this. Hey, I'm talking to myself. But too many times we say, I want to serve you, God, but let me first. Suffer me first to do this or to do that. We see here also in Luke chapter 9. Verses 23 through 26, the word of God says this. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. But what is a man advantage if he shall gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, and when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Verse 23 said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross every so often, every once in a while. When it's convenient, let him take up his cross and follow me. Is that what it says? No. The Bible says, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Lord, I want to serve you, but let me first do this. Lord, I want to serve you, but suffer this to happen in my life first. Do you see these guys? I believe all three of these guys that came to Jesus and said, I want to follow you and I want to be a servant to you. I believe they were sincere in what they were saying, don't you? I believe everybody starts off sincerely saying, I want to serve God and be what God would have me to be. Too many times things get in our way. And the main thing that gets in our way is me first. Me first. You and I, we have these issues. But yet we ignore them, don't we? We say, boy, I'm doing a whole lot more than other people, and I do this and I do that. But if we compare our life to Jesus, we're nowhere close. Haven't done enough for God at all. Many times I think about somebody that's left the world, gone on to heaven. I know a lot of times people say they've gone to their rewards where they haven't got there yet because everybody's going to get rewarded at the same time. So it's not happened yet. Plus, I believe that people leave behind a reputation and other people may get saved, so they can't get all the rewards yet because some things hadn't happened. But yet I wonder sometimes how many people get there and they think, boy, I should have done more. I should have done more for God. I think of some of these great singers that's left the world and sang for themselves and sang on their own. And I think, boy, they probably, when they get there, realize, because I believe some of them are saved and some of them know the Lord Jesus, but they may not have lived their life the way they should have. They may have put me first, is what I'm saying. But boy, when they got there, they thought, boy, I should have done more singing for him instead of for myself. You and I need to think about this attitude of me first. Me first. I told you this scriptures that I found is in three places. Matthew chapter 8 has some of these same scriptures that we talked about. But I want you to see what the Apostle Paul says when he uses the words me first. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 15 through verse 17, the Word of God says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Albeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Here's the me first attitude we need to have. Apostle Paul says in verse 16, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. The Apostle Paul says, hey, I want me first to show forth Jesus so that those around about me can know who he is, can see the life that he lived, can get saved and have everlasting life in their life because Jesus is coming forth through me. Do you see the me first attitude we need to have? Jesus gave it to us, didn't he? I have more scriptures and more things to say, but we'll cut those out. But I believe Jesus gave us the supreme sacrifice. Jesus gave us the supreme example of how to say, I need to do the will of God and not put myself first. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he didn't. Me first. Do I have that attitude? Am I serving God when it's convenient? Or am I serving God selfishly?